Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. This is your host, Crystal Holmes. Go Hard Chicks, wellness does not just include being physically fit. It also includes financial wellness. To that end, in episode 8, I am joined by financial expert Jennifer McReynolds. Jennifer is extremely passionate about guiding both men and women and helping them achieve financial fitness. But Jennifer is particularly passionate about helping women because women face unique issues regarding their finances. Go Hard Chicks, this is such an important episode that I am particularly passionate about because as a divorce attorney, I tend to see people at their worst, and many of my clients find themselves in really bad financial situations upon divorce. But don't fret. Jennifer has some very valuable tips in this episode to help you begin to take control of your financial futures. So Go Hard Chicks, welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. Go Hard Chick, Jennifer McReynolds. Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. Jennifer, how are you?
Great. Crystal, how are you doing?
I am fabulous as always.
You are.
So I say this every episode because I really am excited every episode, but I'm really excited about this episode with you today.
I am too. I've been thinking about it all week and I'm like pumped.
Because this is so important, Go Hard Chicks. I'm joined today by Jennifer McReynolds. She is a financial expert, a fabulous financial expert, and she's going to show us or just give us some tips today about how we can get our finances on point. And I know a lot of people probably are thinking, I thought this was a health podcast. Well, this is a health and wellness podcast, and wellness does include being physically fit and financially fit. So today we're going to discuss just that, financial fitness for women. So Jennifer, I know stuff about you, but I want the listeners to know more. So please just share a little bit about yourself and your work and experience.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Crystal. And you're absolutely right. You know, wellness is really wellness in all areas. So I'm Jennifer McReynolds. I grew up in Florida lived in Orlando and then went to high school in the Florida Keys. I didn't appreciate it as much when I was young, but man, today I would give my right arm to be down there. I came to Atlanta to attend college, had a great time in college. And then after college, went to work for Merrill Lynch on the trading floor, working in fixed income sales. It was absolutely fun, exciting, full of energy, loudness. It was just a great, great time, and worked at Merrill Lynch really up until the mortgage collapse right before that happened. And so was able to transition and sort of remake myself into impact venture capital, more specifically working on making investments in companies that were working with the mobile phone, in mobile technology, creating things on the mobile phone that really could help very, very poor people in the developing world. Again, super exciting work at a time in my career where I just absolutely loved it. Then in my ninth year there, we were surprised and found out we were pregnant with our third baby, and it was a surprise, Crystal, really, because the age gap between our second child and our third child is actually 16 years. And so it was like, whoa. And so really at a time where it should have been super joyous and super exciting, was also kind of chaotic. Things started shifting around at this company that I was with. And I started really kind of being iced out of things that really were under my purview. Companies that I worked with, I started not being included in meetings that I should have been a part of, I wasn't. And I tried not to really sweat it because I said, I want to have a healthy pregnancy and I'll worry about this when I get back from maternity leave, right? And so when I came back, things were no different. They were still very much the same. And so it became a really, really stressful situation. And I had to come to make a decision, like most women at some point in their careers have to make a decision about what they want to do about their family life. Right. And so at that point, my husband and partner, actually, he said to me, hey, why don't you come work in our financial planning and advisory firm? And it's a firm that we've been running at that point about 18 years. And he said, just come here, help me build our business, help us grow our distribution, but also spend time with our baby, which I'd never had a chance to do with my previous two kids. And so so I made that decision to transition. And I haven't looked back so far. Right. So it's been super exciting. It's been crazy. And my husband and I are still married and neither one of us have killed each other, which I think is positive.
Story so resonates with me because, I mean, the sacrifices you mentioned that women make in their career, you know, regarding our children. I think we've all been there. I've certainly made some sacrifices. I don't regret it at all, obviously. But it's funny how society looks at you a little differently when you're pregnant.
Absolutely. Or
society, I should say. So, yeah. So that's why it's even more important to have this financial discussion, because we as women got to be prepared.
That's right. Like
that. Tell us, how do we start? How can we get started getting our finances in order?
Well, sure. Well, you know, you mentioned, and I think it's so super important. You know, I work with, you know, men and women. I work with both. I'm especially interested in things that in the financial planning with women, because I just think there are things that we have to think about that really men don't have to think about in the same way. And so and that's why I'm uber passionate about the work that I do and what I get to do. So I'll say, you know, look, first thing is to kind of look at the wage gap and how it affects us. Right. So we can't overlook that. Women make less than men. And how that affects us is, look, in our working lifetime, on average, women will make about $250,000 less than a man, you know, which in the totality of our careers is huge, because that means it's $250,000 less. If you break that down, you know, it affects women in areas like, what sort of childcare or school can I put my kids in, right? What does, you know, my housing look like? You know, what kind of house do I buy? What kind of place do I rent, right? It makes us look at, you know, even our food options, right? Restaurants or cooking in and the choices that we make, which aren't necessarily things that men really have to contend with. But it's also, you know, if you are planning for retirement at one day, not having to work and really planning for that season, it affects us there, right? We have to think about, you know, are we going to have enough money to retire? And so what I'll say is that's why I think it's so important to really start maximizing your contributions to, one, your 401k at your job, right? At your employer, you should maximize that. And really, you know, you can start slow, but I don't really, you know, I don't really advise that. I think you should really every year grow that in increments that maybe hurt a little bit, but also will make significant contributions to your retirement plan. But you should do that really up until your employer's match. After that, there's no real benefit for you to actually do any more than that. You really should start to shift that to maximizing, you know, a Roth IRA. And then, you know, if you're above those income limits, we can talk about some other things, but really maximizing your contributions to your retirement plans. And so I also say, hey, look, you need to, let's reduce your Starbucks consumption a little bit, right? Maybe instead of 5 days a week of going to Starbucks and spending, you know, $5 a pop, you know, which over a year is about $1,200-$1,300, is maybe skip out on a couple of those Starbucks, right? Because that's more money that we can funnel into our retirement. So I would say that's one. Also, Crystal, when you start is so important, right? Delaying your start to contributing to your retirement planning and savings really does cost you a lot, right? And so I like to talk to women about starting in their 20s. So as soon as you get your first job and you start that career out, you really need to start saving at that point, because you don't have to save as much. each year costs you incrementally. And really, you know, once you get into your 30s, I mean, the amount that you have to save increases. And then in your 40s, that much more. And so the younger you start is really, really important, right? But also starting, no matter what age you are, starting is important. And then also lastly, just on that topic, is that we can't forget that the rate of return also has a huge impact. And what I mean by that is, you know, what you're making on your money has a huge impact. And I think traditionally, some cultures, right, have been taught that you should be saving your money at the bank. But the bank is not really in the business of teaching you how to grow your money, right? Because the bank, they actually go and they take your money, my money, all of our monies that's pulled together. They go invest it in the stock market. They pay you a little bit and the difference they make as their profit, right? And so they're not really in the business of really teaching you how to invest and how to make a greater return on your money. And by greater, I mean 8, 10, 12% on your money, because the rate of return really determines how quickly that money is going to double. And that's huge for your nest egg in the future.
You know this, Jennifer, but I don't know if I'm an attorney and I handle divorces. So one reason that this topic has become so passionate for me is that as a divorce attorney, I become pretty intimately involved in my clients' finances. Mm-hmm. I see what they have. I see what they don't have. And I've seen some female clients and it's killed me. They haven't invested at all. You know, they haven't set anything aside. They haven't done anything regarding retirement. Mm-hmm. And in not necessarily low wage earners, mm-hmm. they don't have it because they're, you know, put all the money into their kids or they're living the lifestyle or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And now they go through this divorce and there's like nothing.
Right.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that it's not too late to start, mm-hmm. but I wanted to get the word out so that women can start paying closer attention to their finances, regardless of if you're in a marriage or not, and you think you're going to be together forever, you still got to take the bull by its horns, if you will, and deal with it.
You're absolutely right, Crystal. I mean, it's so great that this is kind of the area that you kind of see because it's so important. I think that there are dynamics in how we raise, you know, men and women, right? And boys and girls. And so I think traditionally, you know, we raise boys a certain way and we say, hey, you know, this is what you have to handle and this is your purview. And we don't really do the same with women. And that's such a detriment to women, just period, because we tend to not take the bull by the horns, like you said, right? UBS has this report called Own Your Worth. And they, in that report, they said 58% of married women defer to their spouses for long-term financial decisions. And so 58%, right? Where we let the other person make the decisions. And look, that's fine if some of those decisions are made, but man, we have to actually take an interest in knowing the numbers. It may not be something that's comfortable for you. It may not be something that you know, like is natural to you, but man, we got to pay attention to some of that stuff because look, we never want to plan for the end of anything, but knowing where things are, knowing what, you know, assets and liabilities we have is super, super important. You know, even if, you know, your marriage doesn't end in divorce, but something happens where, you know, the breadwinner actually dies, you know, early or there's, you know, an illness, knowing where things are is super, super important. And so that's one thing. I think also knowing where all the money, where all the assets are, where all the important documents are, that is super important. Again, it may not be natural to you, but you need to know where these things are located so that you know how to plan in case something happens. You know, the other thing I say is, you know, for women that do stay home because you made the decision to actually spend the time with your kids, which I think is amazing. I usually tell those couples that, hey, we still need to plan for her retirement. She may not be earning an income for the work that she's doing, but we still need to carve out and create a retirement plan for her, because at some point, look, statistically, women are going to live longer than men. And so she's got to have, you know, a nest egg still. And so when I work with families, you know, with couples, we still are putting, you know, if even if there is a stay at home, one of the spouses stays at home, we're still planning for that person's retirement. That's really, really important that you are still carving out a fund just for that. And then look, if divorce does happen, because we know, you know, that that divorce happens, is that oftentimes for women, it could be catastrophic, right? And so there needs to be a complete overhaul in financial planning that happens. We need to take a look. And usually we're looking at short term, right? Because if you, you know, if you end up getting the house because you have the kids or whatever, you know, the house is kind of a long-term asset. You can't just sell the house, you know, today necessarily and pull money out. So there are some things that we have to do for short-term planning, and that looks different for every situation, right? But really it's taking an interest in what your household finances look, even if you're not the person that is creating the budget or paying the bills, but taking an interest in knowing is so, so important where everything is and where you stand in terms of your total household debt, but also in your household assets. Even if you have separate bank accounts, which, hey, I think that's important to have your own separate kitty as well for both people in a partnership, and knowing where everything is uber important.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree, because like I said, from my perspective, they come in and some of them don't know where anything is, you know, or they do know and they just don't have much. And it's really scary for the stay-at-home moms, because they could have been married 15, 20 years and been out of the workforce.
That's right.
And now, you know, a divorce, they've got to, I mean, they might get a little alimony, but there's no guarantee.
That's right.
So they've got to support themselves and they have nothing. So, I mean, it's so important, ladies. I mean, I'm not the financial expert, but I see it happening every day. Get your financial house in order.
And, you know, part of that, Crystal, also is, again, and how there's so many things that come to us or that we bring into adulthood, into relationships. There's baggage about how we deal with money based on how we were raised and how we were conditioned, right? And yes. And for some of us, you know, it's maybe we saw in our households where one, you know, maybe the dad was the one who handled that stuff. So that's kind of what we believe. Maybe there was so much shame about, you know, not having money, that just not looking at your situation is just easier for you.
Yes.
But there's so many things that come into that. And, you know, when I'm working with people, I often have to peel back that onion and really say, hey, look, this may not be natural to you, but we have to look at it, because money, your nest egg, your savings, your retirement, all of that is going to impact you at some point in your life. And you got to know about this stuff, you know, and I'm going to try to explain it in a way that you can understand it. But we got to look at it. Right.
So and I mean, another issue I see, well, especially for my age group, I mean, I've got an aging mom. Mm-hmm. She's okay for now. But I will say I'm worried. I worry about stuff like that, because I've got a child and then, you know, I've got a mom, and how do we deal with those kind of issues financially?
Yeah, no, that's interesting that you bring that up, because, you know, for, again, this is one of those things that really women have to think about that men don't really have to think about, right? When our parents start to age, you know, they're usually coming to rely, it tends to be one of their daughters, right? And so maybe it's for care purposes, right? Like having to care, maybe it's knowing where all of their things are, right? Managing all of their, now their household, maybe it is financial, but it tends to affect the women a lot more than it does men. And so that is something that we have to consider, right? It's not just, do we have kids? When do I have a child, right? Do I want to stay out of the workforce? But it also then later becomes, man, if my parents get sick and, you know, they now need to rely on someone, it would tend to be the woman that they lean on, right? Their daughters that they lean on. And so that does present, you know, some choices that we also have to make, which again, you know, that's why I work with women and really sort of let's attack and let's start saving early. Let's talk about, you know, everything where we can put, let's talk about where we can cut. Because there's things that do affect us much differently than men. And also we tend to be the ones that when our kids are grown, they come to mama and they say, hey, mama, I want to start this business. You know, I want to start a food truck. Can you loan me some money? Right. Can I get some money? Or mom, I need a new car. Can you help me? I need you to float me with some rent. It's usually the women, studies show where your adult kids come to and ask for money. And I will tell you just in my experience that, some of the women that I've worked with, their kids do come to them and they often have to connect me with their kids because they want me to sort of be the bad person and tell their kids, hey, no, mom can't afford to give you any money. And so it's really, really interesting. In a lot of ways, I love that, right? Because I get to see the whole financial picture and I can say, hey, look, your mom really doesn't have it. You have all these years ahead of you because you're so young and you have a lot of working years, but your mom doesn't, right? So let's figure out another way for you to get, you know, the money for the food truck or whatever, you know?
Gosh, you're like just dropping these gems so much because, you know, as women, we want to give everything to our kids. We want to help them, you know, as much as we can to our detriment at times.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is so important. Sometimes, ladies, I get it, but sometimes you just have to say no.
Yes. Yeah. And including college. And I know that's hard to hear, but I often have to tell my clients, I say, look, they can figure out how to get some money. Maybe they got to work. Maybe they have to sit out, but they can figure out how to get a scholarship, what they need to do to get it. There are no scholarships for retirement. You can't go take a loan for your last 20 years of your life. So that's really, really important. There are options they have that you just don't have in retirement, right? And so, yes, we have to learn how to say no during the times where we need to say no.
Well, my kid's not in college yet, but I mean, it's hard for me to say no. I mean, I've become more focused on my finances in my older age. I wasn't as focused as I needed to be when I was younger, but I'm much more focused yeah. now. But, you know, it's hard because you want to, it's a balance, but I think, you know, I've tried to err on the side of caution and make sure I'm better set up than she is.
Of course. And you want that, right? And I think that tends to happen, you know. Look, I think that just means we're great parents, right? We want to give our kids all the things that we think they should have, all the things that maybe we didn't have, right? We want to provide a better life to them. But at some point, there does have to be a shift where we say, not selfishly, but it's part of our own self-care and our own financial wellness, where we say, no, I can't give you that because that also comes to the detriment of something else later on.
And it's looking out for your kids by saying no.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them, that financial burden on them when you become an older adult and then you have to turn to your kids to help you financially.
Exactly. You know what? It also helps them develop some coping skills, right? Right. They got to hear no right. sometimes so that they can right. learn, you know, and become creative as to what other ways they can get what they want, right? In a very positive way. Yeah. saying yes all the time doesn't help them. And so you're absolutely right.
Okay. So we got a lot of work to do, Jennifer. What else? What else do we need to look out for?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, the other area that we, of course, have to think about is, and I mentioned this earlier, is, look, as women, statistically, we're going to outlive men. We're going to outlive our spouses, our male spouses. And so, you know, hey, women just live longer, right? We know how to process our emotions, right? We're in tune with what we need. We're, you know, handling our self-care, or we're working on it, right? And so how that translates is, man, we're living longer, right? I think the studies show that women, you know, well, are four, have a 4 times greater chance of outliving their male partners. And while that's great, we also have to think about the other side of that is, what, man, are we going to have enough money, because we are going to live longer, to sustain us, you know, during that time. And especially if there is no income coming in from, you know, that male partner or our spouse, or whatever, are we going to have enough? Or do we have to make the decision to go and have our kids support us, right? So I like to work with women on really taking a look at, how do we make this money last? What are some things that we need to do? And so sometimes, you know, just to be honest, Crystal, I have to just be frank and say, hey, look, you just can't retire yet. You can't really afford to retire yet. We still need to accumulate some more money, and you still need to bring some income. And so not all of, you know, I'm not a wizard. And so I can't magically have you retire at age 55 and you have, you know, $700,000 in your investment account for you to live off of, although that would be great. But I'm working with you in the way that you come to me. And so sometimes that means that we do have to have tougher conversations and say, hey, let's readjust what our plans are, right? And I think as women, right, we do a great job of readjusting, right? Being flexible and working with what we have. But also, you know, we also have to look at specifically earmarking money to go to healthcare costs, because if we live longer, that also comes with potentially not being as healthy, right? And so according to MarketWatch, they said that women will have to set aside about 20% more than men to cover the cost of medical bills in retirement. And so that's a pretty big number, right? So we also have to look at carving out money specifically for retirement, for healthcare costs as we get older.
It can be, I mean, just listening to it, I can just sense the in myself, like, oh gosh, I have so much work to do, but it's doable.
It is doable. It is. And the sooner, look, the sooner we recognize it and we start doing something about it, the better it is, right? So we've got to recognize that we may not be where we want to be today, but let's do something about it. Let's not be paralyzed. Let's not have analysis paralysis. Let's do some things and take some steps to work on that.
So what about in the now, as we are living every day? I know we've talked about, you know, the future, retirement, all of that. But what about if something comes up now and we have an emergency? Mm-hmm. What should we be doing?
That's great. You know, we should always look, I know we're planning for the future, like you said, but we also have to make sure that if something happens today, that we do prepare for the unexpected, right? Because we don't want to get caught, like my grandfather would say, with our pants down, right? In public.
Right.
And so it's making sure that while I'm working on my plan, and while I plan to live for a long time, and while I live for a long time, that I've done the right things to make sure that my money, you know, that I don't outlive my money, is that I also plan in the short term to make sure there are no disruptions to my family while I'm growing, you know, while I'm working on those plans. And so I would say, you know, the one thing that we definitely talk about is having a plan for life insurance, having life insurance. That's super important. I know, again, there's a lot that comes with that, just based on what we believe. You know, some people, you know, just believe that they don't, thinking about life insurance is thinking negatively, or that I'm really, really healthy right now, that nothing's going to happen. And so the one thing we're guaranteed is that we're going to die at some point. We just don't know when. And so it's crucial to make sure that while we're in that planning phase, that we take care of that. And so we advise, and financial advisors typically say, that you should look at life insurance as income protection, right? Because Crystal, you know, what do you think the biggest asset is that most people have?
Their income.
Their income. That's absolutely right. And most people, they don't think like that. They say, oh, it's my house. Some say it's, you know, my wedding ring, my investment account. And those are assets. But man, the biggest asset that you have is your ability to make money for your family, right? And so just like you protect your car with insurance, in the event something happens to it, it replaces the car. Just like you protect your house, in the event something happens to it to replace the house, you need to think about protecting your income. Now, your insurance on your income will not bring you back, but it can certainly make sure that the people that you leave behind, they can go on in the way that you envision them going on, right? That you wanted your kids to go to this college, you wanted them to go to this private school, that you wanted this life for them. You want to make sure that if something happens in the short term, that that stuff, your dreams, your vision, your goals can still be carried out. And so we say it should be at least 10 times your income to provide, you know, enough if something happens. Or, you know, enough, whatever your income is today until your youngest child is 25. The reality is, look, kids are living at home longer, right? It's taken them a little bit longer to figure life out and become adults. And so we pretty much are seeing that we are responsible for our kids up until they're like 25-ish, right? So protecting your income up until that point for the people that depend on it is one of those things. Because look, If one of the breadwinners' income, Crystal, is missing, right? Do you think that half those bills are going to go away, or half those responsibilities? No. Right. So income is missing, but still 100% of everything else, you know, your liabilities, you know, what you want for your kids, college, whatever, all of that is still very real, and all of that still costs money. And so you don't want to make it where, the people that you leave behind have to struggle to figure out what to do now. So that's one thing. But also, look, we've been talking about retirement planning. We should also talk about emergency savings, right? I like to say, look, your Mack truck is coming. So you're either coming out of an emergency, you may be currently in an emergency, or an emergency is coming, but we can't get through life without emergencies coming up. And emergencies don't have to be detrimental necessarily, but things come up, right? Your water heater breaks down in your house. You got to be able to access some cash, some funding in some way to be able to deal with life's little emergencies. And so having an emergency fund that covers, I say, 6 to 12 months of you know, your income for short-term things is super important to think about. And I know you see this in your line of work, Crystal, is that, look, we also have to plan, right? Like having a last will and testament is important so that we know what your wishes are. Again, I know this is stuff that people don't necessarily want to think about, but it's really, really important. I'll tell you a little story. We were working with a client last year who had started their planning pretty young, late 20s, early 30s, and they had one child. He's 2 years old. And so they had implemented a couple parts of their financial plan. One of those was their life insurance. And so they had started their, you know, retirement planning. They hadn't actually gotten to working on their wills yet or any estate planning. And Crystal, they both, the husband and wife, both died very tragically, okay, at the same time. And so, look, it's not something that they planned for. It's not something they saw coming. No one around them saw that coming. And this made me look at things a little bit different, because they had been each other's beneficiaries for their life insurance, and they had set up their two-year-old as the contingent beneficiary, never thinking that that would ever happen. And then it happened. And so there is just some craziness now that's going on, because there was a very sizable life insurance policy. Now, you know, they're trying to figure out who can actually take care of the two-year-old, who has the right, who actually can now petition, you know, the state for the money. So it's become a whole mess that really could have been solved if a will had been in place, right? And because that was not in place, now this two-year-old cannot receive this very sizable estate that would come to him because he's two. And that's created a whole lot of issues. And so I'm really, really clear to talk to my clients about, man, this is so important, because it's nothing anyone sees coming. But that's the point, right? It's preparing for the unexpected. And also, you know, a living will, a healthcare directive. If something happens, you know, we're seeing this right now a lot with COVID-19, is if you have to be put on a ventilator, who is making those decisions for you if you cannot talk, if you're in a coma? Who's making the decisions about what happens to you? Listen, I love my husband, Leonard, and I know he loves me, but I want the people to know that you better do everything to save me.
Right.
Because I want to live, and I still have a ton more work to do on this earth, right? And then, you know, the last thing I would say is just making sure that that there's a durable power of attorney also. And so those are some of the things that I know that you probably have seen in your line of work as well.
Absolutely. And I haven't seen enough of them from my clients. That's why I wanted to do this.
The last thing, Crystal, that, you know, I want to make sure I don't forget, because this is really, really important, just going along with those things, is one of the things our office has started doing, you know, our firm has started doing, is emergency contacts. And that is we certify people in your life, the three closest people in your life, with a certificate for them to know where your most important documents are. We want them to know who your planner is, who your advisor is. We want them to know that you have life insurance. We don't tell them how much you have or who the beneficiaries are. But man, if something were to happen to you, there needs to be somebody that knows where all this stuff is in the event, you know, things are chaotic and no one knows where to go. So we certify, you know, people that you decide to choose, you know, that you name, to actually say, hey, this is who we are. And we are actually, you know, working with, you know, John and Mary, and they have these things with us. We don't tell them specifics, but man, they thought it was really important for you to know that this is where their stuff is at. And so that's important too.
That's so important, because I've made it a point to try to tell a couple people, but you put all these things in place, but if nobody can find it when the time comes,
that's right.
I mean, and I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to scare the listeners, but you just got to get started.
That's right.
You know, I see so much of this in my practice, where there are people that make pretty good incomes and they don't have, you said emergency fund, they don't have money to buy a set of tires. And it's quite scary, but it's doable. You just got to make the changes, small changes, and get on top of it so that you can get yourself set up properly.
That's right.
But, you know, you're right. They don't, even in my practice, because we ask those questions, do you have a will? They don't, you know? So it's so much involved in order to be prepared for the unexpected. But like I said, it can be done. We just got to make the commitment as women to get on board with it. Now, what should we do? Like, do we need a financial planner? When do we reach out to one?
I'm glad you asked. Look, I believe everybody needs a financial coach. You know, Crystal, in the same ways that, you know, some of us who decide to take control of our bodies, and we say, hey, I need a trainer because I need somebody to push me. I need someone to be accountable to. I need someone who knows that they can push me in ways that I can't push myself, right? Or, you know, look, I just think that having a financial coach, having a financial planner, having an advisor is just like saying, hey, we are not ourselves. If this is not something that we do, that we should have someone that helps us in this process, you know, because Tiger Woods has a coach, right? Tiger Woods is the best golfer ever, but he has a coach that pushes him, right? We don't know. Many of us, I have no idea who his coach is, right? Serena Williams has a coach, right? She is the best tennis player, the best female tennis player, but she has a coach because she needs someone to push her in ways that maybe she can't push herself. That doesn't mean that we're not great people. That doesn't mean that we don't have a good impact on the world. That doesn't mean we're not good at our jobs, but we're not masters of 100% of all the areas in our lives. And so just like a doctor, a surgeon doesn't operate on themselves, you know, we all need to have a financial coach that can help us, right? We need a neutral third party that can help us advance in our finances. You know, we have manuals that help us with things, that give us instructions on things. You know, we have bought into becoming educated, right? And going to college and, you know, and having graduate degrees and all that stuff. We've become educated and specialized in these different fields, but most times we don't have the financial education. We haven't been taught that, right? Most of us haven't learned it necessarily from our parents. Some of us have been lucky to do that, but for the most part, that hasn't been the case. We're not really taught that in school. You know, how do you manage your finances in a way? How do you, you know, grow an investment portfolio? How do you take a look at these things that are going to come up? That's not something that's taught to us. So we really need someone that can help us navigate. And things are different. Things are different than they were for, certainly for our grandparents. Things are different today than they were even for our parents, right? Our grandparents, if they had good jobs, pretty much they had pensions, right? Our parents, some of our parents fell into that where they still had a pension. Well, you know what? Most of us, we don't have pensions on our jobs, right? Social Security may or may not be there by the time we're ready to retire. And so I think what society has shown us, what the government has shown us, what our employers have shown us is, hey, you better pay attention because you are 100% responsible for making sure that you can retire on your own because there aren't any more of these programs to help you out. And so that's why we need a financial coach. We need someone who can take a look at where we are and sort of guide us with a financial GPS to where we want to be, because most of us, we have all these things because we've kind of ticked the box, right? Yes, I was told I need a mortgage, so I got a mortgage. Yes, I was told I need a 401k in my job. I've got that, right? But we don't really know how all that stuff works and how that stuff is going to get us to where we want to be long term. And so that's why your financial coach, a planner, an advisor, that's why you need to work with one. So they can look from a bird's eye view and then get in the muck and then help you create a plan for where you want to be, 20 years down the road, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, and do a complete financial picture for you.
I love that financial coach, because that really spoke to me. You know, you hear the term financial advisor all the time, but coach really spoke to me because you're right. I have a coach or a trainer, you know, that trains me physically. Some of us have career coaches. Some of us have life coaches, wellness coaches. Get a financial coach. Why not?
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that.
And the sooner we realize that, the better at whatever point we are, right? It's about getting better and doing better than maybe we've done to date. And just saying, hey, you know, maybe I'm not that great at this part. Can you help me? Because this is what I want. Can you help me get there?
I love that. And thank you so much, Jennifer. You have really dropped gems today. And I hope the listeners, I'm positive the listeners got something out of this conversation.
I love it. Thank you, Crystal. I really appreciate you inviting me. This is awesome. This is 100% what I'm passionate about. And I hope that came across because, man, I, you know, look, I think when you find where your value is in the world, you do things much happier, coming from a place of joy. And this is what I love. And I am lucky that I get to do this. And so, yeah.
So Jennifer, if people want to reach out to you and maybe learn more about what you do, or maybe even find out about the services you offer, how can they reach out to you?
Yes. So they can reach out directly to me. My phone number is 678-698-9400. You can reach out directly to me. I'm available. You can text me. You can leave me voicemails. If you want to send me an email, you can reach out to jsmcreynolds@gmail.com. My husband and I run a firm called the Financial Education Group, and then we can give you way more information from there, set an appointment, all virtual, right? Because we're social distancing. But we are 100% loving to work with you and connect with you over Zoom, and hopefully one day actually meet in person and have some coffee and break bread.
Okay, that's fabulous. Thank you so much, Jennifer. And we might have to bring you on again to talk about finances, because this is an ongoing discussion.
I absolutely would love that. Thank you, Crystal.
Well, there you have it, Go Hard Chicks. Jennifer is super passionate about her work in helping people achieve their financial goals. If you are looking for a financial coach, make sure you reach out to Jennifer. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review. Doing so helps me to continue to bring you awesome content. Until next time, Go Hard Chicks, take care.